Welcome to the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. J.S. Bach is known, of course, for his many works of brilliant compositions like St. Matthew Passion, B Minor Mass, and the Brandenburg Concertos. But Bach was a teacher, too, mentoring over 80 students during the course of his career, not the least of them his own sons, W.F. and Carl Philipp, but also other familiar names like Kirnberger and Goldberg. Bach's very last student, though, was one he taught on his deathbed, a fellow by the name of Johann Gottfried Mutil. Mutil was one of seven kids. His dad was an organist and probably Mutil's first musical influence. He later studied with Johann Paul Kunzen, an organist in nearby Lübeck, before taking a job at the age of 19 as organist, chamber musician, and music educator for the prince and princess in Christian Ludwig II's court. Mutil took a sabbatical from that job in order to pursue his own studies more, and it was during this leave of absence in 1750 that he went to Leipzig to see Bach. Mutil lived in Bach's house for 3 months, where he no doubt tried to absorb all he could from the mastermind. It's possible that Mutil took dictation from Bach, notating some of Bach's very last works, since he was by this time blind from two unsuccessful eye operations. Bach died 3 months after Mutil arrived, and Mutil stepped up and took over as interim director at Bach's church job in Leipzig for 9 weeks. Mutil then toured around Germany, taking lessons with Bach's son, Carl Philipp, in Potsdam, Bach's son-in-law, Altnikol, in Naumburg, Hasse in Dresden, and Telemann in Hamburg. With all these new musical influences and experiences under his belt, Mutil wasn't satisfied for long when he finally returned to his court job. Mutil cast a wide net for a new position, snagging a job in a part of Russia that is now Latvia, in the city of Riga, first as a private musician in an aristocrat's house, and later as a lifetime fixture at Riga's St. Peter's Church. We've been hearing in the background Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 5, a piece in which many have traced the origins of the solo keyboard concerto. It's no surprise, then, that most of what Mutil published were keyboard works, specifically keyboard concertos that were no doubt inspired, at least in part, by his early training with Bach and contacts within Bach's circle. Mutil was, by all accounts, a quirky character. He didn't publish or even write very much music down, for that matter. He explained himself in a letter, quote, "I have devised many a piece when in good humor and a cheerful mood, but only an outline, and the pieces await a happy disposition of my mind for further work to be done, for I do not care to work when I am not disposed to it. And that true cheerfulness of mind I require to work visits me only rarely. And Mutal had a reputation for being a little bit high maintenance, too. Though it's probably a bit of an exaggeration, a 1782 description of the composer recalled that he, quote, would never perform other than in wintertime, when deep snow covered the streets in order not to be disturbed by the clatter of carriages passing by. But for all of his idiosyncratic ways, 18th century music historian Charles Burney always had good things to say about Mutal's compositions. He said they were, quote, so full of novelty, taste, grace, and contrivance that I should not hesitate to rank them among the greatest productions of the present age. Another music writer, Johann Reckert, corroborated Burney's assessment, calling Mutal's style innovative and characterized by charm. Especially in regards to the orchestral accompaniments of the keyboard concerto, Reckert said they, quote, demanded without exception masterful performers. Besides the keyboard concertos, the only other concertos Mutal seemed to have written down are two concertos for bassoon. Mutal must have liked the bassoon, and we get a taste for how he wrote for the instrument in the middle movement of his D minor keyboard concerto, a movement which seems less like concerto and more like chamber music. Listening through this 2015 BIST release of Mutal's five keyboard concertos, it's in the slow movements that I find Mutal's most original and individual compositional voice. And the performance given by both the Polish orchestra Arte dei Suonatori and harpsichordist Marcin Swiankiewicz are something to relish. Swiankiewicz specializes in harpsichord, clavichord, organ, and historical pianos. He also teaches at the Music Academy in Katowice and is an active composer. Swiankiewicz's bio, printed in this CD booklet, claims that he is known for his inventive basso continuo realizations. And with that, I should take a minute to mention another recently released recording by Channel Classics called Perla Barocca, in which you can hear Swiankiewicz's inventive continuo collaborations with violinist Rachel Podger in a program of 17th century Italian music. But that's music for another day. If you've enjoyed hearing from this CD of Mutal's five keyboard concertos on the podcast, you can find out more about the recording on our website. Just visit harmoniaearlymusic.org. While you're there, have a look at our archive of blogs, podcasts, and shows, and visit our online shop, where a portion of the proceeds will benefit Harmonia. This has been the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. Thanks for listening.